Show with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the catch-up. Coming up on the show this afternoon, you're going to meet a dude that's been bitten not once but twice by a brown snake in the last 12 months here on the Gold Coast. Obviously, he lived because he's joining us on the show. You can hear his story. It's a good one. Amy Shepherd joins us. She's going to be performing at the AFL Grand Final this weekend. Find out what song she's going to be doing for us all. Doing renos at my place at the moment. Interesting slogan written on the wall behind the gyp rock. We take your calls on what you found at your place when you were conducting renovations. Dobbo joins us for a bit of rugby league gossip. Countdown the top five songs in the country. And Channel 7 have announced who's going to be calling the big game at the Gabba, the AFL Grand Final, this Saturday. You can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's the catch up and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
How's this guy's luck? If you missed it last night, Channel 9 Gold Coast News, have a listen to this.
Most of us count ourselves lucky having never been bitten by a snake. We're about to meet a Miami man who's been attacked by brown snakes twice and lived to tell the tale.
Twice in 12 months. Sam Sales is his name. We got him on the line. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, alive and well. How are you?
Good, mate. So let's go through them. You recently got bitten by a brown snake, one of the most deadly in the world, again for the second time within 12 months, and both of them happened here on the Gold Coast.
Correct, yeah. So my first one was July 2019, just walking along the beach, along the top of the dunes there.
What beach, mate?
Down in Kingscliff.
Kingscliff.
Down in Kingscliff there,
okay.
Yep. Jumped off the dune, just thought I brushed a stick, looked down and I was like, oh, bummer. There's a bit of blood, looked back, there was a snake. So, you know, and within seconds, you know, I got really dizzy. My vision was going side to side, really nauseous as well. Thought I was going to die and the pain was crazy. So, ambos came, the four-wheel drive, got me to the hospital, you know, monitored me for 2 nights, anti-venom, all of that. But yeah, very lucky to be alive in that time, let alone the other week was also fun.
So this is 2 weeks ago. So you have that and you go, well, that'll never happen again. And then two weeks ago, what happens?
So 2 weeks ago, just at home, 8 p.m. at night, which is weird because snakes are never out at that time. Well, one would think.
Where's home, Sam?
Just in Miami.
Okay.
Miami on the Gold Coast. Yep. So stepped 1 foot out my door and it bit me on the top of my right foot and slithered over my foot. I then launched myself forward into the garden, and my front door was still open. Anyway, so I've called my neighbour, I've torn a cade in the middle of my thigh there, and my neighbour could not find the snake. Ambos came, so we do think the snake is in the house.
Wow.
Because we could not find it in the garden. Well, they couldn't.
But have you rung the Ambos by this stage, Sam?
Yeah. So my neighbours rung the Ambos straight away. Exactly the same symptoms as well. Nauseous, dizziness, my vision. I couldn't open my eyes. Really out of it. Couldn't quite comprehend my speech. And the pain was immense. Just like a pulsating pain that almost circled up my leg. So, very lucky to be alive. So, took me to hospital that time as well. A couple hits of morphine, which was always good. Didn't get my slab of beer, which was what I was going out for. But I'm
so
happy to be alive.
You're sitting at home, Sam, 2 weeks ago, you're sitting at home at Miami and you want to go get a carton of beer and it's almost cost you your life.
Yeah, but you know what? It was worth it.
Unbelievable.
The next day I got some and it was fine.
Sam,
it's pretty unlucky.
So, I mean, having had this happen to you twice within 12 months, you've got to just put it back down. You've got to put it down to bad luck, right?
Well, you know, you've got to. And everyone's telling me to buy a lotto ticket, but, you know, they're not working. keep losing.
I mean, it's a weird thing, mate, when you get bitten twice within 12 months and then people tell you you're lucky. You're either the luckiest guy on the Gold Coast or you're the unluckiest by a billion miles. Have you heard of anyone that's been bitten twice by a brown snake and survived?
Well, I've never heard of anyone being bitten by a brown snake, like, that I know of anyway, and survived. So, once, let alone twice. So, yeah, who knows?
Once bitten, twice shy. Nice. Unbelievable, mate. It's an amazing story. I couldn't believe it when I saw it on the TV last night. Glad you're around to tell the story. How old are you, Sam?
20 years old, mate.
Unbelievable. 20. You almost didn't get your 21st, mate. You almost...
No.
And you're
dead set. Tuesday.
Is it? It's your 21st on Tuesday. Good on you, mate. Yeah. Hey, Sam, did you have that moment, mate, in all seriousness, did you have that moment at any stage with either one of these bites where you went, that's it, I'm a goner?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. You know, the first time was you know, I wasn't expecting, I didn't know what to expect from a brown snake bite. So I definitely thought I was, you know, going to die. I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't even open my eyes. But this time that just passed, I thought, you know, if it didn't take me out the first time, you know, it's taken me out this time. So it wasn't long before I thought I'd be up, you know, having a good old cup of tea with God. But yeah. Very lucky to be alive.
I'm glad you survived, Sam. You sound like a bloody good bloke, mate. And I honestly wish you all the best. It's an amazing story. Thanks for sharing it with us, mate.
No worries. Thanks, mate. Have a good day.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
How about this? Amy Shepherd joining us from the northern Gold Coast suburb of Brisbane right now. G'day, Amy. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
Really good. Now, how excited are you the next time that we see you, and by we, I mean the entire country, you're going to be front stage for AFL Grand Final, the pre-match entertainment. It's probably the biggest gig in Australian show business.
Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable. We are just absolutely so excited, and we're counting down the hours now, so it's all happening here in the Shepherd household.
So what a big gig it is, and what's the preparations like, how have you been rehearsing all of this week?
Yeah, we have. It's been really crazy. We've had so our own band rehearsals, dress fittings, and then we've had sound check last night until I think I got into bed at 11, and then I was up back at the Gabba this morning at 9 for press conferences, and then tonight I'll be back at the Gabba for the dress rehearsal run through.
Ooh, so do you have to, when they say dress rehearsal, is it what you're actually going to be wearing or just the actual performance that you have to do?
Well, it's you're allowed to wear what you're wearing, but my outfit's still being made. So,
really?
Yeah, it's still coming together. So, yeah, I would just be wearing another outfit. But it's just to make sure it all runs top to finish, smoothly, to make sure the timing's all correct and there's no hiccups.
It's an awesome sort of Queensland lineup that we have performing for the pre-match entertainment. And, you know, I know Busby Maru are a part of it. Thomas Busby was on the show. He's a good friend of the show. He was on last week, and he was saying that you guys are all doing something, like it's secret, but you're doing something special for Grand Final Day. Is that right?
I can't give too much
away. No, I get it.
It's going to be, like, insane. I really think just the whole day and the whole night is going to be insane. I don't think people know what's coming for them. So I definitely encourage those who weren't going to watch it, you guys need to tune in.
Oh, people tune in, Amy, just for the pre-match entertainment. Like, I'm not an AFL fan, you know, in so much as I watch only one game a year, which is the grand final. But there's no way I'd miss the pre-match entertainment, regardless of who's playing. It's just sensational. Yeah. But I've got a theory. This is my theory. You don't have to say yes or no. Okay. But the bottom line is, for the AFL grand final, they always play one particular song, and he comes out every year and he sings this great sporting anthem, but he can't do it this year because he's a Victorian. Have a listen to this.
Up there in Adam, show up your might.
It's such a great song, Amy.
Yeah, we actually sang it once at some special AFL luncheon, so I know all the words to that one.
Shepherd performed this song. So will this be getting a go or a jersey on Grand Final Day? Can you confirm or deny?
Not by us this year, but it would be a shame if it wasn't. Of course, we couldn't do a gig without singing Geronimo. So I don't know if spoiler alert, we're singing Geronimo.
There you go.
We've got 10-minute halftime, so... in the sound check yesterday, it was insane. I had goosebumps the whole time because we've got symphony, we've got a drum line, we've got lights and fireworks. It's all happening. So, yeah, we can't wait. I'm just getting a little bit nervous now.
No, you'll be fine.
You can hear it in my voice. I'm really flustered already.
You guys are absolute pros. How proud are your parents, by the way? They must have, what do your folks think about what you guys have been able to do as a family?
Oh man, they cry every show.
Like, do they
you
really?
Look over and our parents have tears in their eyes because they're so proud. It's really nice. Like, they've believed in us like the whole way through. So it's great to have supportive parents there, right beside us the whole time.
Amy, really proud of you. It's amazing to see how far you guys have come. To see you front and center on grand final day is going to be amazing. And we know you're going to kill it.
Thanks so much.
Good on you, Amy. Thanks for your time, Savo. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Hope to make Australia proud.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
My fiance and I got Renos going on at our place, and man, is it loud. We've had the jackhammers in today, jackhammering tiles off a bathroom floor, and I'm embarrassed to show my face around our neighbours at the moment because we live in an apartment complex. Have a go at this audio. This is from outside our unit at the lifts. This is how loud it is. That's not even inside. I said, that's not even inside. How about this? It was so loud and it was vibrating so much, getting the tiles up off the bathroom floor, that in our other bathroom, which is like at least four rooms away from the bathroom that they're jackhammering, tiles fell off the other bathroom, four rooms away. Play that again, how loud that is. It's just ridiculous, and the poor neighbours are having to... They're going to hate me even more than they already do. That's enough, mate. I can't even deal with it. It's so embarrassing with that loud noise going on. But so the interesting thing is, right, what was written on the walls. So they pulled the gyprock walls off, and it was honestly like a time capsule as to 1990 when the building was built, because written in white paint, like scribbled in massive big white paint across the wall, is Free Winnie Mandela. Not even Nelson Mandela. It's Free Winnie Mandela. And then there's all these sort of writings about the NRL and the AFL of what was going on back in the day in 1990 when the building was built. And then all of this writing hasn't seen the light of day since it was gyprocked over in 1990. What was that, 30 years ago? It's really interesting, mate. I've been sitting up there with a torch reading the writing on the wall. And then I'm talking to Stuart, who's the builder. I go, mate, what's the most interesting thing in your time? Because he's been building here on the coast for like 30 years. I go, what's the most interesting thing that you've found behind a gyprock wall when you've been doing renos and working on houses? And he reckons he's found like bags of weed. He reckoned he worked on this one place where they pulled the wall off in this kid's bedroom and there was a massive bag of weed there. And then the kid just goes, it's not mine. It's not mine. And then I remember I was telling him the story about Margot telling us when she renovated her property. Remember they found a handgun? There was a handgun behind the wall at Margot's place. And they had to call the cops and let them know about it. But I reckon we should open the phones up right now. What have you found when you've done renos at your place? We've got a cool prize up for grabs if you've got a good story for us. Dylan's just called through from Burley Waters, mate. When you were renovating, what did you find at your place?
Yeah, mate bought an old farmhouse and we started pulling the walls apart in the bedroom and found $10,000 in cash in the old $50, $100 notes.
Really?
Yeah, just wrapped up in plastic. The old farmer probably left them in there and forgot about it, passed away, and my mate got $10,000 back on his price.
That's unreal. Fair dinkum. And yeah, it was all in good condition and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's all wrapped in plastic, so just had to take it to the bank because the new notes had come in at that stage, but you could still hand them over and get the original money back.
Score. Yeah, poor old farmer, mate. The poor old farmer. I'll tell you what, it's a good place to hide it, though. Good on you, mate. Alex from Coomera. Go ahead, Alex. What's your story, mate?
Me and my dad were doing a refurbishment of a house and we're lifting up the old lino out of the kitchen. And we found a first edition of the Woman's Weekly magazine.
Oh, God, my granny would have sold a house for that. She loved that, mate. She collected them. Is it worth anything?
I'm not quite sure. My dad still got it in amongst some old newspapers and stuff that he's kept from back in his time. And, it's just now a part of the family collection.
Hey, good on you, mate. Let's go to Roger from Crestwood Heights. Go ahead, Roger. You're on the air, mate. What's your go?
Yeah, good day, mate. Mate, we did a painting job in Sydney about 30 years ago in the Capitol Theatre in George Street in Sydney.
Yeah.
And we had this scaffold up because we were doing the ceiling. And they had all these fancy little platform-type things coming out of the wall. And sitting on the top, there was a bunch of old newspapers from the 1930s.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Three or four of them.
Yeah.
And they were complete newspapers. And I don't know what happened to them. We had them for quite a while.
Unreal.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
What have we got? Only a couple of days to go until grand final in the NRL. Just looking at the weather charts, it looks like it could be a wet game down there in Sydney on the weekend. But Dobbo's all over this, like spots on a grandma. He's been covering all the NRL action in the lead up to the big game, particularly with the Melbourne Storm, who are based up there on the sunny coast. Joining us right now, g'day Dobbo, how are you, mate?
Hello, Luke. Good afternoon, mate. How are you, brother?
I'm really good. Now, there's a story I wanted to pick your brains on with regards to this youngster that's unfortunately a New South Welshman who they're saying potentially could be coming to the Brisbane Broncos. It's a big story. But before we get to that, any NRL gossip from either camp, mate, that we need to know this afternoon?
Well, the Penrith Panthers players aren't doing TikToks or making videos at the moment. They've been bailed.
That's the big news.
The big news. Look, the bottom line is at this time of the year, they all go into hibernation, both teams. I mean, Melbourne, they're the ultimate professionals. There's been no stray catting, which we know Christian Walsh was caught when he had a little visitor turn up. That's all not happening at the moment. It's all about the game of football on Sunday night in Sydney, which is quite good.
Because there's usually sort of grand final breakfasts and all those sorts of things, but this year there's none of that.
Nothing.
They've all gone to ground. It seems really quiet, Dobbo. Like there's not much happening on the rumour mill.
There's not a harbour cruise going on where a league player gets caught in an awkward position with somebody that's not his wife. No, you're dead right. It's very quiet.
Right. Okay. All right. So one of the big stories then that's doing the rounds of the Savo is with regards to this youngster. There's a 17-year-old kid who is going through high school in New South Wales, and apparently he's the next biggest thing. He's going to be bigger than Ben Hur, this kid, apparently, if you believe all the rumours. Now, he was signed by South Sydney, and then he tried to get out of the contract to go to
Rugby Union.
And now, Dobbo, there's whispers that he could be ending up somehow at the Brisbane Broncos. Do you know anything about it, and do we want him?
Well, we definitely want him. This kid is the big talent. Now, my understanding is that South Sydney have him locked away. Australian Rugby Union tried to buy him, but they couldn't afford him. If Brisbane are going to take him, they want to shell some money. I mean, they can't get rid of Jack Bird. He's on $1 million. Matt Lodge is on $750 a year.
You're joking.
You've got Anthony Milford on $1 million a year. And you've also got, lo and behold, Joe Offenengawe and plenty more. So if they want to try and go and pay money, and they're going to need $1 million, this guy is a superstar, but there is no chance they're going to get him unless they start getting rid of some cattle.
So the moment the rumours going around that he's going to be end up at the Brisbane Broncos are just that, they're rumours.
Luke, Brisbane would like Cameron Smith.
Hmm.
Brisbane would like Ryan Pappenhausen. Brisbane would like anybody other than the 30-man squad that they've got at the present moment. Yeah, of course they would.
Okay, I'm not reading anything into it. So that's it, Dobbo. What a boring weekend. What a boring week it's been in the lead up to a grand final. It's just been sort of a bit sterile and mundane.
The only thing is that this mongrel government that we've got here at the present moment won't allow Wayne in here into the state early. Wayne Bennett tried to come in here on Tuesday and they won't let him come in here. He's not allowed till Sunday. I say free Wayne. They want you to coach the state. Let him to come in.
All right, my friend. We'll chat to you on Friday ahead of the big game. And thanks for your time, the Savo, mate. Appreciate it.
See you, Luke.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now it's time for Top 5.
Every Thursday on the show, we count down the top 5 songs in the country. We do so with good friend of the show and fast becoming an Aussie music legend, Casey Barnes. Gold Coast boy done good. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was absolutely stoked to hear the news today that you are going to be part of the Melbourne Cup Racing Carnival. Tell us about it, mate.
Yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, the carnival's still happening, going ahead, the cup, and a lot of it's going to be happening virtually. And they announced the entertainment today. It's myself, Delta Goodrum, James Rain, John Stevens, Illy, a heap of others. And what they're going to do is shoot us in iconic sort of Aussie locations around the country, and then they're going to put it up on Channel 10 throughout the carnival. And, yeah, it's going to be great.
Unreal, mate. So your iconic location will no doubt be what, the Helensvale Tavern?
Is it? Absolutely. You've nailed it. That is it.
Where is it, mate? Where's your location? Or are you not allowed to say?
Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to. I might get in trouble. It's pretty spectacular, let me tell you. We actually went down and had a look, and it's very, very, yeah, it's pretty special. But I might get in trouble.
It's Miami. It's Miami putt-putt, everybody. I'm telling you. Mate, good on you, mate. That's fantastic news. And it's a well-deserved for you, mate, because you've been working your jacksy off, and I can't wait to see you with those other Aussie legends. But let's get into our top five for this week. Triple M music guru AV looking very rock and roll in his AC/DC shirt. Is that to give you some credibility, my friend?
No, it's just to set the anticipation for the Aussie GOAT. Will they be number one?
We'll wait and see. I can't wait to find out who the GOAT is. Let's go, mate. Top five songs in the country.
Joel Corry, This Thing Doesn't Go Away. Head and Heart.
I wish this would go away. To know from me.
I'm with you, mate.
You don't like that, mate? No, it's not proper music, Casey, is it?
No, there's no substance to that. It's just I don't get it. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No,
don't get it.
You're not wrong, mate. Number four, AV.
Miley Cyrus doing a Stevie Nicks. This is Midnight Sky.
You're telling me this is a cover?
No, it just sounds like Stevie Nicks channeling a real 80s version of what she used to do.
What do you say, Casey?
Mate, she's getting better with age. I think she's like a fine wine. I like it.
Mate, you make it sound like she's 70 years old. She's probably only 26 still. I dig it, though. Yeah, she's the real deal. I like her.
It wouldn't be a top five without Justin Bieber at number three. Holy.
Yep.
You like it, mate, do you?
Yeah, I'll give him another week.
It's a no from me. No, that song's not going to be around 12 months from now. What else you got, mate?
Yeah, we mentioned Stevie Nicks earlier. Number two, Fleetwood Mac, Dreams.
Uh-huh. What a voice she's got. Yeah, it's a yeah from me.
You can't beat a classic.
No.
Yeah.
When did this song come out? What year would have this come out?
76.
76. Imagine that in 1976, you say, this is going to be in the top five again in 2020.
All thanks to a homeless guy on a skateboard drinking cranberry juice.
Unbelievable.
What a song.
So we're down to number one, are we, mate?
We are. 3 weeks in a row. Keith Urban, Pink, One Too Many.
Yeah.
You dig it, mate?
I'm a bit biased. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I like it too. I was just reading actually that Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are living in Byron Bay at the moment, and she's down there shooting a movie or something like that. Have you had any contact at all, Casey? I know you're very good friends with with both Nicole and Keith.
On speed dial, mate. Oh, look, there was. I don't know if I'm allowed to say too much. There was a chance that we were going to actually collaborate on something together, but because of him releasing his album and Nicole's schedule and all that bizzo, it didn't come off. But it's on my bucket list. I would love to do something with him one day. He's an absolute champion.
That would be amazing, mate. And honestly, on behalf of everyone here at Triple M, we're stoked for you to get that gig with the Melbourne Cup, mate. That's a huge honour. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, appreciate it. And there's lots to look forward to at the moment. So, and it's nice to be back out playing some shows. And we actually got to play now in the hometown last week, which is great fun. So it's nice to be back playing again.
We appreciate your time every week, Casey. Thank you, my friend. We'll chat to you again next week. AV, thank you.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Hey, before we wrap off out of here, just real quick, want to touch on Channel 7. They've just announced what the commentary lineup's going to be for this year's AFL Grand Final. I think it's a good one. I was unaware of this, but because of COVID restrictions, it turns out that Bruce McAvaney and Brian Taylor have been calling from different cities. So they've been calling the games together, but they haven't even been in the same city. The game's been in a different location. Bruce has been in South... The game's been played in Queensland. Bruce has been calling from South Australia, and Brian Taylor's been calling from Melbourne. And you know what? Sitting at home in your living room, you probably haven't even noticed. But for the grand final, both Bruce and Brian Taylor will both be in Queensland calling the game on Saturday. And I say that's awesome because he's the best in the business. Bruce McAvaney, mate, when I watch AFL, I want Bruce calling the game. And when I listen to NRL, I want Rabs calling the game. With those two legends behind the microphone, I feel I'm in safe hands. Bruce McAvaney, though, mate, nobody in the history of broadcasting asks more questions than Bruce McAvaney. He is the king of questions in his commentary. This is from the Australian Open a couple of years ago. I put this montage together, and honestly, you'd swear to God this took me hours to put together. It didn't. It took me about 10 minutes of Bruce's commentary to put together a montage of how many questions he asks. Have a go at this.
That doesn't work out that way too often, does it? In a big moment now, Sandy, isn't it? The Brand's forehand looks so dangerous, doesn't it? Well, he's serving brilliantly, isn't he?
Game.
Oh, impressive, isn't it? And Tomic quickly to 40 love here. This is a fast match so far, isn't it? So right now, it looks a 50-50 bet, doesn't it? So we've had a few love games, haven't we? So he's done the hard yards, hasn't he? They're a colossus, aren't they? And Novak's on five, and he's got a whole heap of blokes in front of him, hasn't he? Oh, he's spent, isn't he? It was a great point, wasn't it? Going back to school a moment ago about that whipping forehand, it was a bit similar, wasn't it? But he sort of dismantled in that opening point, wasn't he? And so noticeable, isn't it? No, it was tight, Jim, wasn't it? I mean, Federer's a lot quieter than Novak. Novak, squeaky, isn't he? So it's not every day of the week you play the world number one, is it? So expressive, isn't it? Mm. Indian tennis players like going into Bollywood, don't they?
That's my favourite. Indian tennis players like going into Bollywood, don't they? He's a great commentator, isn't he? All right, we're out of here. Thank you for your company this afternoon. We really appreciate it. Back for our special grand final edition of your live and local drive home, the Rush Hour. See you at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.